have your Bibles tonight, Exodus chapter number 10. Now, I want to draw your attention to something. Tonight, I want to just ask you, how many of you have ever wondered why sometimes your prayers are not answered faster? Now, anybody here ever wondered why it seems like God waits a long time? Anybody here other than me? Anybody? I mean, why does the Lord wait and tarry and tarry and wait? And then all of a sudden he answers. And boy, it's such a blessing, but you're exhausted almost. And said, boy, I just wish you could answer sooner. Well, tonight I want to just take just a minute and let you see something tonight in Scripture. If you have your Bible, keep your finger in Exodus 10 and turn back to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, if you would, please. Exodus chapter 2. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 23. It came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of their bondage, and God heard their groaning. Now, I want you to notice that God heard their groaning, but it took 40 years before he answered and sent Moses. Now, why do you think it took 40 years for God to answer? I mean, notice if you would, then God sends Moses, and then it's another period of time before, we don't even know if it was a year, 2 years, between the time that plague started and Moses went in and with the first one and turned the river into blood, or he took his rod and he threw it down and became a serpent. Why didn't the heart of Pharaoh just get shocked and him say, okay, you can go and leave our country and worship your God? Why is it that it took 10 plagues? Why did God allow that? Why did it take 40 years for their prayers to be answered? One, it took 40 years to prepare Moses. So do you understand sometimes God can't answer a prayer because the person that's responsible to take care of it is not prepared yet? God has to wait on us. Sometimes God has to say, okay, I'm going to answer that prayer, but I've got to get Moses to surrender. I got to get Reza Massini to surrender. I got to get James to surrender. I got to get Kenneth to this point in his life before I can use him. And there are people that we're praying for that we love to see saved, and sometimes it takes a while before the person that's supposed to win that person to Christ gets the courage up to witness. Do you think God wanted to wait 40 years to answer their prayers? No. But God has to work with us in our flaws. So sometimes God has to wait to answer because we're not ready to be used. What happens if there's a lady in our church, she has an issue, an elderly lady, her fence is broken down, and she prays and says, Lord, would you send somebody to fix my fence? I can't fix it. And she calls the church and she says, do you, Pastor, know anybody that could help me with my fence? It's broken down. I don't know what to do. And I sit down and think, and I say, you know, I know everybody's busy, and, you know, no, I don't know if anybody can fix your fence. And so we have Sign Up Saturday every summer, and guys sign up to do jobs and odd jobs for people to be a blessing. And so one lady calls and said, my fence is broken down, and could you send, do you know anybody that can, I'll pay them, do you know anybody that can fix my fence? I just don't know anybody I can trust. And so I got the list out and found three men and said, hey, or we made the announcement. And the three men came up and said, we'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I don't know anything about it, but I'll help. Somebody says, well, I know how to do it. I'll do it. And so three men got it. I don't know if they used their own tools. I got some from the church, went over there, fixed her fence, put it back up. And it was an answer to prayer that was a burden on her heart. But it took a while to find people that would surrender, because everybody's busy. So you're praying for someone to be saved, and God says, I need somebody to witness to that gentleman right there, because his brother's asking me to see him saved. His sister's asking me to save his soul. But I need so-and-so to get right with the Lord, because they're the one that could reach him the most. And the sister's saying, Lord, why don't you answer prayer? Lord, why don't you save my brother? Lord, why don't you bring him back to you? Why don't you get him right with God? Why don't you get her right with God? And all the time, God is waiting on someone else to get right to go be the witness. There's a reason the children of Israel prayed for 40 years. Moses had to become willing. So they had to wait. So many times, our prayers are not answered because the God of heaven is looking to use someone that's not ready yet. That is why all of us in this room want to walk with God on a daily basis, so that we're always ready. That's what it says in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. One of the things about workmen, if they come 3 days late, they come in and say, I am so sorry. They're ashamed. So be prepared. Be available. Be ready for God to be able to use you. Everybody in this room, I can guarantee you that God has got someone praying, and you and I could be the answer to that prayer, but not if we're not prepared and ready and able and willing. If you have your Bible, notice with me if you would. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 1, the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. Now, do you see that? I want to explain that to you. And the heart of his servants. Now, I want you to notice for just a minute. He said, I've hardened his heart. What does God mean when he said, I've hardened his heart? What God means is, I've pulled back and let him have his own way. And his desire is not to obey. So I've worked on his heart and worked on his heart, and there's no fruit, so I'll back up and his heart will get harder. So God said, I've hardened his heart because I stopped working on it. Now notice with me, if you would, in verse number 1, he tells why. That I might show these my signs before him, that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. So sometimes the prayers are not answered immediately because God is working and doing things, and we are seeing him work in little ways until finally the big answer comes. So God worked in the little way, threw down the rod, and it became a serpent. In a little way, and it turned the water into blood. In another little way, and it turned to frogs, and they came up on the land. In another little one, and it became lice. And another one, and locusts came up, and all the different things that God did, none of which made a difference until finally the last one, and then their prayers were answered, get out of Egypt. But in the process, God's name was lifted up and lifted up and lifted up and lifted up and lifted up. And notice, if you would, in the outline, God brought, Roman number 1, the signs or plagues upon Egypt for several reasons. Notice, A, God wanted Pharaoh to let his people go to worship him. He wanted Pharaoh to let him go. He wanted him to be able to go worship. In other words, God really did want the children of Israel to be free to worship him. That was one of his original reasons. Notice, if you would, he wanted all the Egyptians to know that he is the great God of heaven. He wanted the Egyptians to see that he was greater than all their gods put together. Well, their gods, remember, the magicians got their gods to the old devil to turn a rod into a serpent, to do some miraculous things, some magical things. But whenever became lice, they said, this is the finger of God. We can't do this. And then it kept escalating from there. Now, notice with me, if you would, in chapter number 9. Notice in verse number 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So you see that Pharaoh hardens his own heart. And God sometimes is working to soften the heart, but when God stops working, then our heart automatically gets hardened. If you have your Bible, turn, keep your finger there, but turn to Psalm 106. I want you to see this, Psalm 106. 106, verse number 15. Psalm 106. Notice in verse 14. In verse 13. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, speaking about the children of Israel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. They were mocking God and saying, Lord, if you're a great God, won't you give us all that we can eat? And notice in verse 15, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Now, let me tell you how that happens. God answers our request, but what we got was not what we wanted in the end. We really prayed and said, Lord, give me that raise and that promotion. And we get the raise and the promotion, and the promotion comes with all kinds of strings attached we didn't realize, and we're miserable. And God tried to protect us from that, but we pushed him. So God gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. He let them have the fruit of their request. Lord, give me meat. And he gave them meat. Then they said, oh, we don't want any more of this meat. Then he sent them manna. Manna from heaven. It was like a coriander seed, a white little fluffy thing, sort of like cotton candy, you might say, but it had sustenance to it. It was sweet. And they could get it every morning and eat it. And they would get it in the mornings. And then he said, don't store it. They would store it and it would rot. And then they, on the weekends, God said, I don't want you to labor on Sunday. So it didn't rot on Sundays. They couldn't figure it all out, but they would never obey the Lord till finally at the end they would go out and say, I'm just going to collect it all. And he sent leanness into their soul. And they just get so frustrated because they got what they wanted, but it wasn't what they thought. So many a times, God's protecting us. He is preventing us from getting the thing that we're asking for because he knows it's not best for us. But sometimes we push God and push God and push God. That's the reason every prayer ought to be followed by, Lord, I really would like to have this car. I'd really like to have this job, Lord. I'd really like to have this thing. Or, Lord, I'd like to have this friend. But, Lord, not my will, yours be done. So that he has the veto power to say, if it's not good for you, I won't give it to you. Rather than pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and I want this, because God will answer our prayers in the end. And if we get what we wanted, but it wasn't good for us, it sends leanness into our soul. It's an emptiness. It's a disappointment. Now, I want you to understand that there are reasons why sometimes God delays his word, his answers to our prayer. There are reasons. And I want you to see one of the reasons is God wanted Pharaoh to let his people go and worship. He wanted them to be ready to go and worship. He wanted them, whenever they finally went, to say, finally we get to worship our God. Rather than, Lord, just let us get out of here. We want to be free. And so we just walk right out and worship, and it wouldn't have meant much. But whenever they were refused the privilege of worshiping the Lord, boy, it meant a lot more when they got there. Notice, if you would, too, he wanted all the Egyptians to know that he's a great God of heaven. The more times that God brought these plagues and things into Egypt, the greater opinion they had of God. They wouldn't have had that opinion if it just the rod turned to a serpent right in front of Pharaoh, the word would have gotten out, but it would have been nothing like whenever the water turned to blood or the frogs came up. And pretty soon it got to be where Moses would walk in and say this, and I'm sure the word around said, "What did Moses say? This time's going to happen to us." And then when it happened, they said, "Oh, no. Boy, Moses serves the greatest God in all the world. What can we do to not have this God angry with us?" And you'll notice, if you would, at the very end of the outline, you're going to see one of the fruits of the delay of God in the blessings to Israel when they left Egypt. Notice, if would, see in the outline, God wanted Israel to see his mighty power and be encouraged. You'll notice God wanted Israel to be so encouraged that there's a God in heaven that loves us. The God of heaven loves us. And notice D, another reason God wanted the Israelites to be able to tell their children and grandchildren about the power of their great God. You know, one of the things that I think we're missing in our Christian circles, we don't sit our grandchildren and our children down in a time and say, "I just want you to know, God did this 3 years ago. Do you remember when God did this? Do you remember when God did this? Remember when we all prayed and the Lord answered our prayer and this happened?" We don't do enough of that. So our children's faith in our God is this big. But we can build their faith and our own faith the more we look back and talk about the wonders that God has done for us. Notice, if you would, in Acts chapter 10, notice what he said in verse 2. He said, "That thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son," your grandchildren, "what things I have wrought in Egypt." God wanted to show his power in 10 different signs so that the children of Israel could sit their children down and say, "Did you see what God did? Did you know that God did this? God said he was going to bring the thunder and lightning, and it came and it destroyed Israel. I mean, it destroyed Egypt and saved Israel, because not one lightning bolt came through Goshen. Isn't God good?" See, we don't do enough of that to build up our great God in front of our children's eyes. They don't see the answers to prayer of a job that we just got, or a raise that we just got, or a car that we prayed for and that the Lord provided. Our children need to see the hand of God in our own lives. And if you'll notice, he said, "That thou mayest tell them." Tell it in their ears. So tonight, I encourage you to look back on some things that God has done for you so you can tell your children, your grandchildren, or your friends, or your neighbors the greatness of your God. It's one of the reasons that he tarries sometimes, so he can do more things that become even greater and greater, and we are overwhelmed at his might. Now, notice with me, if you would, Roman numeral 2 in the outline. God was disappointed in Pharaoh's disobedience, but he was determined to get Pharaoh to let Israel go. God never gives up trying to get people to do what's right. He never gives up. Now, notice, if you would, A in the outline. The people had already made the decision to let Israel go. Look at chapter 10, and if you'll notice in verse number 5, that they wanted the children of Israel to go. They were ready for the children of Israel to go. Notice in verse number 4, "Else if thou refuse to let my people go, tomorrow I will bring locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth." And notice in verse number 6, "They shall fill thy houses." And notice, if you would, in verse number 7, "And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God." They weren't saved, but they knew their God was great because they said, "Let them go and serve their God." Notice verse 7. "Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" Now, this is before the locusts came up. He said, "Don't you know that Egypt is destroyed?" Before the locusts came. Now notice with me, if you would. So the people said, "Let them go, let them go." But this one Pharaoh said, "Not on your life. I want these slaves. Keep working for me. Notice, if you would, see in the outline, Pharaoh again repented until the locusts were removed. Then he changed his mind again. Look, if you would, in chapter number 20, verse number 19. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Again, God pulled back and let Pharaoh have his own way. And Pharaoh got his heart hardened and said, I'm not going to let those people go. I'm sure Pharaoh just thinks its own mind. It's his own hard heart. It's his own mindset. I don't want them to go. But in reality, if the Lord did not work in our hearts to soften our hearts, all of us would have hard hearts. It's the Holy Spirit of heaven that keeps our heart tender. So if God pulls back and lets us have our own way, God hardens our heart. He lets our heart get hardened. So one passage, it says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Another passage, that God hardened his heart. That's what's happening. Pharaoh's getting a hard heart, and God is pulling back and letting him have his own way. So notice with me, if you would, D in the outline. Then God sent 3 days of darkness that couldn't be penetrated with light. Look in verse 21. This is chapter 10. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Anybody here ever been in something like that? Anybody ever been in something like that? One time years ago, I went to a planetarium showing. Had all the teenagers with me. I was a youth pastor. We'd just gotten in our seats, and I got a phone call. And I had to get out of my seat and go answer it because it just buzzed. And it was an important call. But if you sat in a planetarium, you sit down in the seats and all outside, when they turn out the lights, it's darkness that can be felt. So I got out of my seat because the stars were out and they started the program and it went totally dark. And I'm standing in that planetarium and I can't see nothing. And so they heard me as I went, finally hit the wall. And I'm going down the wall looking for the door. Of course, I'm disrupting the whole thing. But it was such a darkness that I could not see my hand. I tried this, and I couldn't see it. This darkness, they couldn't even light a match, and it penetrated. Notice what it says. Verse 22, and Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They saw not one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. Can you imagine sitting in the same chair for 3 days? Not being able to move? Can you imagine not being able to go out of your house? You can't see. You don't know what's there. Notice verse 24, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye and serve the Lord. It was so bad that it broke Pharaoh's heart. And he said, look, I'll tell you what you do. You go on and serve your Lord. Go ahead. Serve your God. It's okay with us. Notice what he did. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. You take all the old people, the young people. Remember before he said, leave them all here. Now he says, take everybody with you, but just leave your flocks and your herds. He was trying to strip them of their wealth. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number, in letter E in the outline, Pharaoh tried to bargain with Moses again. He said they could go, but had to leave their flocks and herds behind. Now, you know, I like this. Notice Moses' response in verse 26. Now, this is whenever you know you've got God backing you up. Look what he says to Pharaoh. The man that could have taken off Moses' head in a heartbeat, listen to what Moses said. Our cattle, all shall go up with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. You think you got his point across? Not one hoof's going to get left behind. We're all going. And you'll notice he says this, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. We don't know how many animals God's going to ask us to serve, if it's going to be oxen or sheep or cattle. We're not going to leave one hoof behind because we're going to do our God right. Well, you'll notice, if you would, verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he would not let them go. The Lord pulled back and Pharaoh says, you're not going. Now notice with me, if you would, in the outline E, Pharaoh tried to bargain with Moses again. He said they could go, but had to leave their flocks and herds behind. Then Pharaoh angrily said the next time he saw Moses, he would kill him. And Moses never had to defend himself because God did it. Notice in verse 28. Now, this is the ninth event. And Pharaoh has had it up to his eyeballs. And so he looks at Moses in verse 28 of chapter 10. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me. Get out of my face. That's the Texas translation. Get out of my face. Take heed to thyself. See my face no more. For in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. You come back here again, and you're a dead man. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. Now, before Moses gets out of there, the Lord says, Moses, tell him one more thing. Look in verse 1, chapter 11. The Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. He's going to let, well, I got one more plague, and when that plague comes, he's not only going to get you out, he's going to throw you out. And I'm sure Moses is thinking, what in the world could that be? Egypt's destroyed, all the cattle's destroyed, the darkness over the face of the earth. I mean, what in the world could God think of next? And then he heard. Notice, if you would, verse number 4. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. So every firstborn animal, every firstborn son, every firstborn of every person in Egypt was going to die if Pharaoh hardened his heart again. Well, notice F in the outline, Moses left Pharaoh angry because of his continued blatant disobedience to the Lord. He was stunned at his stubbornness. Now, before he leaves, he says this. He told Pharaoh and his people that refusing to let Israel go would cause God to kill every firstborn child and animal in Egypt. They still didn't believe it. Notice, if you would, in verse number six, there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be any more. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, nor is not one person going to die in Israel. Verse 8, all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out. And all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. The Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Always remember, sometimes God's delay in answers to prayer is to make him more known. It's to make him mightier in our eyes and the eyes of others. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 9, he says, The Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken. Why is that? Because once all of the firstborn are dead, then he's going to throw you out. Now, I want you to notice one more thing. Two, they still didn't, this is F2, they still didn't believe God. They didn't think that God could do that. Now, I have no idea how they could possibly be that foolish and unbelieving. Do y'all think we would believe God if he did 9 different miracles in front of our eyes? You think we'd believe him? I mean, if I got up and said, now God said he's going to have it thunder and lightning today, but anybody goes outside this building is going to die. And so we looked outside and there were dead bodies everywhere because the hail came down and killed everybody. But inside here, not one person was injured. Well, that was what happened 6 times. 3 times God didn't announce it, but they knew who it was that was doing it. And 6 times he had pre-announced it, and exactly what he said happened. And so there's no doubt in anybody's mind that God is capable, willing, and will do it. And he did it. But on the 10th thing, looking at their own children and God saying, I'm going to take your child if you don't obey. Pharaoh looked at him and said, no. Now, folks, stubbornness is a horrible sin. Comes from pride. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do this. Be careful of your heart. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself to the will of God. If you're not careful, we will harden our heart that quick and not even realize it. But I want you to notice, there's one more reason why God allowed these plagues to come and to go on and on and on, and they would say no and yes and no and yes and no. Now you can go, don't take the elderly people. Now you can go, but don't take the cattle. No, you can't go. There's a reason why all of those 9 came to the point. Notice with me, if you would, in chapter 11 and verse number 2. Now speak in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Why is that? Because they're a great God. If you have your Bible, turn over to chapter 12. And notice, if you would, in verse number 36. Verse 35. Now, the word borrow and lend literally mean today, we use the word, you go ask somebody, and that's like borrowing. You go ask somebody if you can have this. You go ask somebody if you can have that, and they'll give it to you. And then it's lent to them. We use the word lent as the word loan, but it wasn't a loan, it was a gift. And notice, if you would, in verse number 35, the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed, or they asked of the Egyptians, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. In other words, God used all these plagues to cause the Israelites to be looked up to with such respect because of their God, that when they said, boy, that sure is a beautiful necklace, would you like to have that necklace? Would you like to have my new cell phone? Would you like to have my new keys? Would you like to have my new car? Would you like to have my new coat? And so whenever Israel left, they stripped Egypt of all their wealth. So God says, children of Israel, I'm not going to let you labor for all these years for nothing. You're going to get paid. And so the Egyptians just gave them everything, partly because they were afraid of what God would do, partly because they respected the great God, and he's a mighty God, and partly because I think they grew to respect the Israelites, because they were willing to go and serve their God and stand up to Pharaoh, and they had respect for Moses and them. Notice, if you would, look over in chapter 11 in verse number 3. Notice this phrase. Second part of the verse. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Why is that? He was the representative of God. And by the way, everybody in this room, you are the representative of God. You are a priest unto yourself, and you represent the God of heaven. That is one of the reasons you and I must learn to be patient with our answers that we get from God, realizing God could be using our delayed answer in all kinds of people's lives. But we must trust the Lord and have confidence in our great God that he can do anything. So you'll notice here, notice in the outline, number three, F3, God said when this last sign occurs, Pharaoh and the people will let you go. Actually, he will throw you out. That's what he said in verse 1 of chapter 11. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. So now, can you get the picture? Moses walks into Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardens his heart. He says, look, God told me, and they're angry at each other. Moses is angry at Pharaoh. Why are you doing this? Can't you see what our God is doing to your country and to your people? And Pharaoh says, can't you get out of my face? And Moses says, okay, if that's where you're going to be about it, then you'll just have to suffer the consequences. And he walks out and God says, tell him. And he turns and says, by the way, the last plague, and you're going to let us go, is God's going to strike your son dead and every firstborn in the entire country and every firstborn of every animal in this country. And then you're going to let us go. And I can imagine Pharaoh saying, yeah, just get out of here. And Moses walked out. And you know the story. Now, next week is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. God tells them how to avoid the angel of death. And that plan is the same plan today how we avoid the angel of death. It is by faith in the shed blood of the Lamb. And in their day, it was the shed blood of a perfect Lamb that they offered to God, the blood. And they would take it, and they would get a little bush, and they would sprinkle it on the doorpost and the header over the door, lint on the doorpost. And whenever that death angel came to pass over, the Egyptians didn't believe. There was no blood protecting their home. And so I want to take just a minute next week. You don't want to miss next week's lesson. It's one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. Where God, can you imagine the death angel as he's flying over Egypt and he sees all the Israelites? I can imagine he said this, what faith. All of them got the blood on their door. And then he looks at the Egyptians and he says, what foolish ones. Death everywhere. So I want you to notice tonight that Moses has walked out. God is preparing one last plague. But I can imagine the Israelites after all these weeks and months and all these plagues saying, children saying to their parents, Mommy, do you think Pharaoh's ever going to let us go? How many of you have ever had a prayer request that took so long to answer that you thought, is God ever going to hear me? Well, next week, the Israelites' prayer gets answered. But in the meantime, give this picture in your mind. Johnny's walking out. Well, Abraham's walking out to Mary. And they're talking to each other, said, man, can you believe all the stuff we got? Did you know our neighbors gave us this? Yeah, I know. I don't even know how I'm going to get all this home. Do you realize how much this is worth? And I mean, they got stuff hanging around their necks, and they got stuff in their pockets and their robes, and they've taken up their robes, and they got stuff in it like this, and they're taking it home. And some of them got wagons, and they just loaded stuff up on them. Here, take this food and take. And they're spoiling the Egyptians. The Egyptians got none left, and they don't care. And the Israelites saying, can you believe that God allowed them to give us all of this stuff? Anybody here ever been really sick and somebody came to your house I'll tell you a story. Susan and I were in our first church 41 years ago. I was a youth pastor, and my wife was a second grade school teacher, and we both together, she made $3,000 and I made six or seven. Together we made $10,000. And we were on a third floor apartment, and we didn't have money to buy a Thanksgiving dinner. We didn't have the food for dinner. And it was Thanksgiving night before, and a knock came on our door. And we were just talking, you know, what are we going to do for Thanksgiving? I don't know. You know, and to be frank with you, we really didn't think much about it. You know, when you're poor, you don't think much about it. I mean, just, you don't need a lot, you don't have a lot, but it's okay. If you're trusting the Lord, you say, you know, the Lord will take care of it. And we didn't know what we were going to have for Thanksgiving dinner. So we were like the Israelites, we didn't have much. And this knock comes on the door, and it was one of the deacons of the church, and said, you know, I got this whole Thanksgiving dinner. It's a turkey and all the trimmings, but we are bringing it to this other family over here, but they're not in. Could y'all use it? I said, you know, you sure? All the time, my wife's, get that. I said, you know, sure, we'll take it if there's you sure, nobody else. No, there's nobody else. And we got the thing, closed the door, set it down. Yeah, we got Thanksgiving. Now, I want you to know something. We felt like we spoiled the Egyptians that night. We had a turkey dinner and all the trimmings, and we didn't even ask for it. It was like, wow, isn't the Lord good? And so I just want to remind you, sometimes when you and I, we want something, but God just delays it and delays it till the last second, and then all of a sudden God does it. We say, wow, what a great God we serve. And you know, sometimes that's the reason he delays. So tonight, as you pray, trust the Lord in his instant prayers and in his delayed prayers. It's the same mighty God, but with a different purpose. And remember, sometimes he can't answer because he's waiting on us to surrender. Tonight, are you waiting on an answer? Let's trust him. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. And don't want to miss next week. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. We're going to have a word of prayer tonight. If you need to come, just talk with the Lord tonight. Maybe your faith has been a little weak. Well, I've had mine be a little weak. Maybe you want to come and just talk to the Lord. Maybe there's a burden on your heart. Can I encourage you to get out of your seat and come down this altar and say, Lord, I just want to talk to you tonight. Whatever the need is, you obey the Lord. Maybe you need to surrender something to him. You do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. In your son's name we pray. Amen.